Hello, and welcome to the Open Systems Media eCast Effective Requirements Definition and Management for the IoT Enterprise. I'm Kurt Schwader, your moderator, with today's speakers Edmund Mayer and Rick Learn from Watson Internet of Things Continuous Engineering Solutions at IBM. Edmund is a solutions engineer at IBM. He specializes in the IBM Continuous Engineering Solution and related systems and software engineering practices. Much of his work is focused on the application of tools and functional safety-related workflows throughout this integrated product and systems development lifecycle, within and across requirements engineering, model-driven development, and test. Ed holds a BS and MS in electrical engineering from the Missouri University of Science and Technology, and he's a registered professional engineer licensed in the practice of software engineering. Rick Learn is an IBM certified information technology specialist working on the Rational Software Division of IBM. He began his career in 1980 working with Honeywell Avionics, providing advanced guidance systems for a variety of military aircraft. During his 19 years at Honeywell, he held various roles in system software engineering and program management for several DoD-related programs. In 1999, he joined Telelogic as a field software engineering support, UML and SDL systems and software modeling tools engineer. He also developed extensive skills in systems engineering, specifically requirements management. By working with software systems and test engineers, he helped define process for complex federally regulated projects. And Rick recently retired for the United States Air Force Reserve as a Chief Master Sergeant after 33 years of service, and we certainly thank you for that service. I'd like to do some housekeeping here. Today's schedule consists of approximately 50 minutes of presentation, leaving 10 minutes at the end of the hour for audience Q&A. Before we begin, I'd like to run down some features of your viewing console. First is the Enlarge Slides button. This button will maximize the slides to fill your entire screen. The Download Slides button allows you to download and print the slides if you'd like a hard copy to follow along with. The button labeled Forward to a Friend enables you to send an email to someone that will include a registration link to this eCast, so they can also attend. The Ask a Question text box enables you to participate today. You can simply type your question into the box and submit it using the Submit button. You can submit questions at any time during the presentation. We encourage you to do so early and often while you're looking at the material and the question is fresh in your mind. We'll address as many of these questions as we can during the closing Q&A session. And if you have a question pertaining to the eCast operation itself, you can submit those too, and one of our technicians will be happy to respond to you during the eCast. This and all Open Systems Media eCasts are copyrighted and may not be recorded or used in any way without the express written consent of Open Systems Media. Ed will be kicking things off today. Ed, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Kurt. So, again, the title is Effective Requirements Definition and Management for the IoT Enterprise. We hope to, at a minimum, answer the question why requirements definition and management is still important for IoT development, and so let's get started. So the Internet of Things, or IoT, it's influencing how products are consumed today, how services are provided, and for some manufacturers, sometimes even new business models. And for development teams, the IoT often leads to a need for speed and speed of managing change, speed to getting to market. So that significantly impacts the way products are developed. Development of connected products, it's more complex. Connected products are commonly made up of multiple components, and it's not just that those individual components are complex, their interactions and their associated behaviors can add to the development and operational complexities. So how can you ensure that you keep on top of budget while delivering what you need? Well, you need to build the right product at the right time and for the right cost. Our development teams, they need to quickly respond to change while conforming to regulations, rules, standards, whether those are driven internally, by industry, or by the government. Our tooling, it needs to be smart, aware of, and working within the development lifecycle. But still, it needs to be best of breed. It needs to be industrial strength, you might say. Capable commercial tooling, it allows teams to focus on the core business, on your core business, rather than building and supporting internal tools whose total cost of use or ownership often exceeds your early expectations. So we need to ensure we keep on top of budget while delivering what we need. And one of those things that we need to do is we need to remove the risk of tool support. So let's talk a little bit about requirements. So requirements ensure your product meet your customers' full expectations. Actually getting the requirements right ensures that you're meeting your customers' expectations. The requirements themselves, well, that's the agreement that you have with your customer, and it forms the basis for planning and management. Your business likely depends on getting those requirements right. Doors Next Generation is part of the IBM Doors family. DNG, as we call it, it uses a web browser as its client, and that simplifies deployment and use, and it's also provided as a software as a service model. And that allows your team to get up and running quickly so that you can focus again on the real work at hand. DNG, it enables you to capture, trace, analyze, and manage your change in requirements while maintaining compliance to regulations and standards. It's been built from the ground up. It allows geographically distributed teams to work together with in-context collaboration. Get away from those emails and those side notes with in-context collaboration here. Within your organization and with suppliers, you can communicate, customers, other stakeholders. Requirements reuse and version management is natively supported. Dashboards allows your team and leadership to monitor your progress, the changes, related test cases and defects, to be notified of pending reviews and so on. So why are requirements needed? So on the left here, you see the Church of the Holy Family in Barcelona, which today still remains largely incomplete. It was designed by Gaudi, who was the chief architect as well, at the time of his death in 1926. It was only about a quarter of the way finished. And then in 1938, during the Spanish Civil War, the last known record of the blueprints, the requirements, were completely destroyed. So construction has continued haphazardly over the years. It's still largely incomplete, but the original intent cannot be realized in the building. There are no requirements anymore for it. On the right side, you see the Marine One helicopter fiasco, and that's an example of a poorly defined scope that resulted in spiraling costs that just continued to spiral until the program was canceled. A study later on blamed poor communication about requirements, about aircraft requirements, as being the root cause of that fiasco. And where human safety is a factor, even simple devices and systems require careful engineering to reduce risk. These companies are finding that getting to market first or fast, building market share, is not enough. So whether their individual problems are implementation does not meet market or system requirements, or maybe they had gaps in their software engineering, poor requirements management caused companies to face legal problems, and in this case, possibly even face or introduce customer safety risk. Development practices that need to mature to identify problems sooner and to address these risks. And if you haven't already, proper requirements engineering is the place to start. So why are requirements even needed? Well, we have very complex systems. We have very distributed systems, not only communicating with each other, but in some cases are communicating back to the vendor that built these systems. And with connected products, systems, we are communicating feedback about operational data back to the manufacturer, and this then presents an additional dimension of complexity due to the IoT. And with the expansion of these of stakeholders, since we have these connected products out there in the field, there's of course an increased risk of poor communication given these multiple disciplines across that value chain. Which now might include repair vendors, contractors, different types of value-added services, and so on. So let's talk a little bit about requirements and poor requirements. Proper requirements management is business critical. That's for sure. Now, poor requirements management has a significant impact on your business, as the chart shows here. It's well accepted that the later problems are found in products, the greater the cost of repair, as the chart is showing here. And poor requirements management is a leading, if not the leading, reason. Inattention to requirements or poor practices, such as document or spreadsheet management, continues to be problems, more so in some industries than in other industries. So wherever it happens, it leads to greater rework, project delays, sometimes failures, and certainly increased cost. So this slide here is implying that the solution is to spend more time on requirements management. I think that's a bit misleading here. Really, the solution is actually to employ requirements best practices so that you work smarter, to avoid the common pitfalls, and to implement requirements management best practices that have been supported by the Doors family for many, many years now. So we've seen this before. So what's changed? Well, we had the advent of the Internet of Things, and software as a service has changed business. It's changed development priorities and how our teams work together. And customers, they now demand a best-in-breed solution, a best-in-breed requirements management solution that not only works really well as a requirements management solution, but plays very well within the overall development lifecycle. So let's talk first about a little bit more about IoT. So the Internet of Things is touching many businesses. Actually, it's transforming many businesses. It's driving new customer experiences and customer engagements. It's lowering cost of operations. It's creating new products and offerings and even new business models. And traceability extends now beyond traditional development artifacts. With the IoT, with the Internet of Things, we have operational data from the connected products in the field that can be fed back into engineering and related to the original requirements. So this is really the digital thread that helps us to fix defects, improve the quality of our future products. And then if the data is unstructured, which it often is, IBM's Watson Analytics can make observations, identifying correlations or discrepancies that can be traced to the product specifications, the original requirements. So for example, data collected from a deployed device that may be overheating, it has these overheating problems, may show that seemingly unrelated operational data is out of range, possibly violating some performance requirements that we already have documented. And we can relate that information back to those performance requirements. So with the root cause isolated, the design can be corrected to avoid future problems. And if it's a software fix, we might even be able to do an over-the-air update to fix that fielded device. So as I said, traceability, it extends beyond the core of the CLM solution to include even product line management, PLM, and into operational data to complete this digital thread. Once you've made an observation and done your analysis, you can follow the digital thread from the deployed device to the bills of material that would be in your PLM system into a model or related simulations and up through the specification of the device. If needed, the history of the related artifacts can be reviewed, helping you identify when the fault was introduced. So the IBM solution for continuous engineering, it's available on the cloud with multiple deployment and pricing options. Now, the business value of software as a service is pretty clear. It's all about management of cost of deployment, lower costs for hardware, for software, for infrastructure management, and IBM brings a deep and very wide expertise in cloud deployments for thousands of customers. Software as a service deployments, they're consistent and repeatable. Installation topologies are very well understood, and they provide the performance you expect at a predictable price. So when you're working with IBM to deploy your continuous engineering solution to the cloud, your team then, of course, focuses on their core business, while IBM handles the administration, handles the tool deployment, performance optimization, maintenance, and tool version updates. So again, the business value of software as a service is about managing your cost. So how's this impacting the demand for development products? Well, our customers, IBM's customers, they want to use a requirements management solution that fits into the extended infrastructure and supports the entire lifecycle process from inception through implementation, tests, deployment, and maintenance. And with the digital thread, linked engineering data extends across CLM and PLM, and the impact of change requirements or the impact of an obsolete part can be clearly seen, enabling your team to make informed decisions on how to manage that change. And change requests can be assessed and managed with the entire system in mind, of course, with the entire CLM, PLM system across that digital thread. And then, of course, we have the ability to analyze and act upon the operational data. So as a product vendor, the IBM CLM solution for continuous engineering is a collection of tools that individually work very well, but they also work even better if you use them as an overall solution. It is a tightly integrated group of products. We talked a bit about the digital thread, which spans CLM, PLM, and even the operational data. And that's not really a new concept for us. It's actually well supported by Doors Next Generation and the rest of the continuous engineering solution. Linked engineering data is, in fact, inherent in the IBM solution. It allows us to logically consolidate these data silos, keeping the data where it is, but still allowing us to capture important relationships. So what we can do is, because we have this linked engineering data, we can filter on it. We can filter on providing us certain types of artifacts that have or don't have certain types of relationships. And we can visualize those artifact relationships in different ways. We can use that information to help us make decisions. We can perform impact analyses, change management, and change management while having a broad view of the larger development lifecycle. So what do we want to get out of our requirements tools? Well, we need overall better understanding of our hierarchy of requirements for the wider group of business and development stakeholders that are typical in IoT systems. It's business critical that the requirements tools meet the needs of the users to increase overall stakeholder satisfaction. We need for the requirements tools to get us to market on time and within budget, and that typically means to help us respond to change very quickly and with accuracy. The requirements tools, they need to work very well within the development lifecycle, as I've said, providing awareness and transparency of information. So, for example, let's say you've got testers, and they have a need to easily view the test requirements and qualification criteria for those requirements, the requirements qualification criteria that's been created by the requirements team. And with this transparency of data, of visualization of that data, the requirements team, they can easily ensure that test coverage of requirements, ensure the test coverage of requirements and see those executed test results. So better integrations, increased collaborations, and data consistency are key. Now, data consistency, what's that really mean? Well, that means that everybody's, doesn't matter what your role is, you're looking at the same data. There is a single owner of record. There's one single owner of record for the requirements, one single owner of record for the test cases, for the model artifacts, and so on. And that gets back to what I said, we can break down these logical silos of data and still link with that data, keep it where it is, to provide these views of that related information. So data consistency is very critical. We like to avoid copying data from one tool to the next because that typically causes us to eventually fall out of sync. All right. So let's talk about market leadership. So we, IBM, we are experts in this field of requirements engineering. We had the pedigree, and we had the products. Doors has allowed us to be the requirements management market leaders for 25 years. And we're very excited for the future that IBM Doors Next Generation is going to help us maintain that for another 25 years. So IBM Requirements Management Solutions are represented around the world in the largest companies across engineering industries. So let's talk about a company that is currently using Doors and Doors Next Generation, Cambridge Consultants. They're an FDA-regulated company. For their business, it is an absolute must that they practice formal requirements management. And they also have a need to produce high-quality documents as deliverables. They use Doors. They have been for a long time. They now are using Doors Next Generation deployed and using more and more of it as they're growing its use, and they're using it also with Rational Quality Manager, our testing solution. Some of the outcomes that they're seeing is increased collaboration with their customers, with their client stakeholders, faster time to market for new ideas, and then better support for FDA compliance with full traceability across engineering designs. All right, well, at this point, I'm going to pass things over to my colleague, Rick Learn, and he's going to tell us more about Doors Next Generation. Rick.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ed. So the first thing that I think I would like to start with is some basic fundamentals of requirements management. These are really key for any program or any application in defining what their product needs to be. And regardless of any kind of a tool set, these are some guidelines that should be thought of. The first thing I'd like to bring up is granularity and attributes. So I'm going to go into these in quite a bit of detail as I go through my presentation. But one of the things that you need to be able to do is to be able to take a document of requirements, whether it's 100 requirements or 10,000 requirements, and be able to isolate them as individual sentences. The other thing you need to be able to do is decompose those. And what I mean by that is to be able to take what a customer is asking for and turn that into engineering description or information that your development teams can act on. And the other thing you need to do is have traceability and the ability to link this information together, which then provides a mechanism for collaboration. So this requirement is affecting this test. Obviously, the control and security is paramount to make sure that people are in the tool that belong in the tool, they are in the project and in the requirements that they're allowed to be in. And then, of course, we always need documentation. So the ability to do documents, generate documents, spreadsheets, be able to have reporting dashboards, things like that is extremely important. And then we can talk about things like the Internet of Things and the cognitive approach to requirements management, to be able to do thinking around whether requirements are being repeated, are they well written, are they vague and difficult to understand to those users that are trying to build from that. And then, of course, all of this is a capability of being served in a software-as-a-service environment, so those users can work on their domain knowledge and build the product rather than worry about the IT of the product itself. So I'd like to continue on with one of the keys to the requirements system is those attributes. So one of the things you can kind of think about is when a document needs to be brought in or understood, a lot of times they're broken up into sentences that may have a statement such as a shall or a will. In the federal business, a shall statement is actually a contractual requirement that needs to be addressed. So some med device companies and federal companies, they might not use the term shall, but there is an indicator that it is a requirement. And then, of course, that requirement has to be addressed. How are we going to build this? Is this going to be built with hardware or software? Is it going to be a purchase component? And what's kind of priority, and how are we going to test it? So this information that I'm asking about a particular requirement is attribute values. Now, one of the key things about attributes are attributes help define the requirement and validate that you have a well-written requirement. As Ed mentioned in his earlier parts of the presentation, a large majority of the project failures are due to poorly written requirements or poorly understood requirements. So having a tool with the ability to basically ask those questions, how are you going to build this? How are you going to test this? What is any kind of risk that's associated? How about costs? These are all things that can be defined in attributes that help you understand if you have a well-written requirement. And if you don't have a well-written requirement, then you need to probably go back to your customer and ask more questions, which kind of helps out with one of those other things we talked about is collaboration. The other thing is to have the ability to have an intelligent workflow or a process around your requirements management. For example, if you have a set of requirements that were that you're building on, have they been approved? Are you just going to take them and hope that you understand what you're doing with those requirements, or has there been a process in place to understand that these requirements have been vetted, you now have a plan on how you're going to implement those requirements, and they're basically approved. So from the creation to the actual realization or management of those requirements, and then maybe eventually the retirement of those requirements as things become obsolete. All this has to be able to be put into a requirements tool, along with possibly graphics or design elements to help better understand a requirement. So one of the other key factors is the ability to do traceability. I like to call this linking while you're thinking, in the sense that you are building, for example, maybe a test case. Well, the reason you're building that test case is because of a requirement that you're satisfying. So while you're building the test case, you can actually create the traceability to that very simply with drag and drop. Now, what that brings to the user is the ability to create matrices. And these matrices can be used for several things. If you look at the top matrix, you'll see that it has basically a graphic view of a particular requirement. Well, that's like pulling the digital thread on this particular requirement. What are the designs that are implementing it? What are the tests that are associated with this? What other requirements may have been spawned as part of this requirement? So you have the ability to do an impact analysis if you're being asked to make a change. That's one of the biggest problems that I've seen in my previous roles is change has been happening, but nobody is capturing the impact of what that change is. So customers are going beyond schedule and over cost because nobody's really managing the kinds of change that's happening. The other thing is traceability, and the dynamic traceability I mentioned earlier is basically drag and drop. So from this, you can get the understanding of whether a requirement has been satisfied, if it's been tested, any gaps that there may be. So do you have requirements that have yet to be tested, so they cannot really be delivered? Or you might have requirements that have no parent. Well, that would indicate you've got scope creep introduced into your project, which may not be a bad thing, but it has to be managed again to understand what the costs are of those additional requirements. So this is, again, about the requirements management of things that you may have been given as part of your development process. So as I continue on, one of the other things that needs to be is good planning and notification. So if you have a requirement that's in your system and it changes, wouldn't it be nice to know that there is a suspicion about this particular requirement? So there is capability in the tool to understand based on link types whether there is a suspicion. So say, for example, you have the testing environment and you're working on test plans and test procedures. And all of a sudden a little question mark comes up on one of your test plans or test procedures, that might indicate that there is a requirement that's been changed that might impact you. Now, you could figure that out after the fact, or you could have a nice little visual indicator that shows you've got a suspicion here. Maybe you need to go check your plan to make sure that it's still fulfilling that requirement that had been changed. So understanding those types of things without having to chase somebody down is really vital to an organization. The other thing is the plans of who is doing what and where and how well are they doing it. Are they ahead of schedule, behind schedule? The ability to do things like reviews of requirements, deployment of requirements, implementations. So those are things that can be addressed in dashboard and the process that's wrapped around a requirements management system. Now, one of the other things that you need to be able to have is a process that you can trust. Most organizations have a way of doing business. They have requirements documents or information that flows in one direction. They do something with it, and at the end of the day, they hopefully produce a product that their customer wants. But there's rules that go into that that most people inherently know, and that is a process of how do you document things, how do you regulate things, how do you restrict what information is being updated at a particular time. Obviously, you want to make sure you freeze requirements when you go through a particular process. You restrict change and maybe force updates when you need to. There's certainly a plethora of different things that you might need to do. And to have a process that you can lock down and make sure that a typical user can't accidentally make, for example, a link to a wrong element, to prove that this process is valid through possibly link management. So you may create links. You may have to have a QA to come back and validate that the link is truly addressing whatever it was that you were asking it to link to, whether it be a test, a decomposed requirement, or what have you. So really what this is about is the ability to have relationships to other information and have them trusted relationships. One of the other things that has been extremely important, especially for customers that have larger scales or do a lot of churning of requirements, is the ability to do baselines and to not only do baselines, but in previous tools such as the classic DORS, a baseline was a baseline, but it stood within the requirements space. With DORS Next Generation, when you do a baseline of requirements, it can include all of the tests that tested those requirements or any decomposition, any modeling that was associated with that. So the whole digital thread is now included in baseline in something that we call global configuration. So this is taking part inside the tool. We have a built-in configuration management capability that supports both change and configuration management. So if change is going to happen, we encourage it to happen. Obviously, it needs to be managed. You don't want change to happen when you're not expecting it. That might possibly delay your project. So the other thing that's extremely important is the reporting side of things. You bring things into the tool, it definitely has to come back out of the tool. And there's various methods that I've seen deployed with DORS Next Generation. Probably the one that's the most widely accepted and loved is the dashboard. I was the guy at one point in my life that ran around every Monday morning looking for status from our development engineers and our managers. And then I would compile that into a pretty little pie chart or some sort of a spreadsheet, and that was what we used for reviews. Well, in the dashboards, that's all dynamic. As people are doing work, as they're completing their work items, as they're building requirements or making modifications, that information shows up in a dashboard that you've asked to monitor. So the upper right-hand corner would show how is the reviews going, what are the last dozen requirements that's been changed so you can keep up with them. And this is a nice way to make sure that you have that collaboration in place, so you're not just chasing things around at the end of the day, that you have an instantaneous idea of what's going on in your project. The other thing that you may have to have is a deliverable. So in other words, you've got to create a document that you use to pass on to your customers. There's several ways to do this. We have out-of-the-box document generation. In a lot of cases, you might need to have something more formal. So I like to think of the capability of Publishing Engine, which is part of the CLM suite, as the Fire and Forget document generation tool. That's where you are generating a document based on a template that you've designed into the tool to say, this is the header page, this is the title table of contents, let's rotate the page, have some spreadsheets for traceability, and then rotate the page again to have content. So this is would normally be done in a Word environment where you're copying and pasting or building macros up to do this. Publishing Engine helps do that. So that would be for a deliverable type product. So finally, one of the things that we talked a little bit about was the power of Watson and how do we bring this cognitive environment into the requirement space. Well, as I mentioned before, these requirements can be hundreds or they can be tens of thousands of requirements to build a product. Everybody off working in their own space, in their own kind of direction. A lot of times they may have collusion of requirements. They may have requirements that contradict each other. They might have poor terminology, poor requirements, language have been written. So how do you find this thing? Well, Watson can be used to understand if something is spelled correctly. Does it use poor choice of words, maybe weak statements? Maybe does not imply something in some various languages. What kind of traceability can we expect to see from this? Possibly even we have some requirements. Can we generate some kind of models based on that human language? So this is all some capability that we're working towards, actually some pilots with some customers, on how to use the power of Watson to teach it requirements management and what a good requirements is. And of course, we can also implement this through the software as a service. So this is basically taking the IT out of your environment and allowing you to concentrate on your development of your products through the requirements management, the design, development, and testing parts that we talked about. This is all part of the JAS solution. So take the worry out of the IT stuff. Let us do the integrations, the migrations, the upgrades, and then you can just focus on the development of your product. So with that, I'd like to turn it back over to Edmund, and he can finish up with some conclusions.
Yeah, we'll do a quick conclusion here, and then we're going to get to some Q&A pretty soon, so please still hang on. So the Internet of Things, or IoT, as we've called it, it's changing the way products and services are consumed today. For the development teams, the IoT most often leads to a need for speed, and requirements, they're still needed. They're needed even more because there's increased complexity that results from the connected devices and their interactions. And then with the digital twin and digital thread, traceability extends back to the system specification to those original requirements. Now, for the business, software as a service and a cloud deployment, that reduces the cost of ownership, the cost of use, the cost and risk to the business. IBM provides a variety of secure and managed solutions in this area. Proper requirements management, it's needed more than ever to effectively manage specifications, regulations, safety goals, etc., and to quickly find the gaps in coverage and extra unwarranted requirements. We sometimes call that gold plating, requirements that somehow got invented along the way that shouldn't be, that adds to your technical debt and cost in the long run. with more disciplines than ever. A collaborative solution is needed to deliver on the expectations of your customers. DOORS Next Generation is here, and actually it's there in the cloud to solve your needs. All right, so if you've liked what you've seen, liked what you've heard, feel free to get in touch. Feel free to use the link here to get additional information, demonstrations, and even a free trial. All right, so back to you, Kurt, for some Q&A.
Great. Thanks, Edmund. We are to the Q&A now. Up to you, the audience, to take advantage of the expertise we have here today. Going to be talking about some interesting topics here in terms of some questions that have come in. Again, audience, continue to ask those questions. Edmund, there's a question about what is available for linking requirements with PLM.
Yeah, well, I did talk about the digital thread and the ability to link traditional development artifacts, you know, requirements and test cases and so on with PLM artifacts. So we actually have multiple integrations. So the one that is the most active, meaning that the most complete really, is with Aeris Innovator. We've got a lifecycle integration adapter for Aeris Innovator that allows us to link work items, different types of work items, change requests, implementation requests, even defects with Aeris bill of material items, also with Aeris change records. We can also link DOORS Next Generation requirements with those same Aeris Innovator artifacts, the BOM items, the parts and assemblies and so on, and the change records. We have integrations with the other PLM solutions as well. Those are available through our partners, so if you have a specific question about I don't know, maybe it's Windchill or Siemens or so, PLM solutions, would be happy to give you information on that as well.
Okay, great.
Okay,
thanks.
Yep.
Let's start with Rick on this next one, and Edmund, you can also chime in here. How do the requirements, definition, and management change with different development methodologies? If you're doing waterfall or if you're doing Scrum Agile, can DOORS accommodate different methodologies and still manage requirements effectively in those environments?
Okay. Yes, that's a great question. Actually, DOORS Next Generation utilizes a template approach to requirements management. So when you launch the tool or you build a project, you have the ability to say, I want this to be an agile project. So it will go and pull an agile template and create the project, the requirements project, based on that, which means now you have terminology that is consistent with an agile program. Scrum, different waterfall methods would be another approach. So if you happen to have a traditional approach, a waterfall approach, we have the capability to have that, or the template is available for waterfall. Most customers have some sort of a hybrid approach, which means they are a little bit agile, but they also have a waterfall type approach to what they do, so they're not truly an agile development house. So most of our customers, what they'll do is configure the tool to meet their processes, and it's somewhere in between the tool, or in between the two. But the tool does have templates that are available to be just utilized that already have the terminology, the traceability, all established.
Okay, great. Thanks. I want to remind the audience, the Ask a Question text box is there. You can simply type your question into the box and submit it using the Submit button. Edmund, did you have any follow-up on that, or did Rick cover it?
No, I thought that was good.
Okay, great. Question for Edmund here. IoT spans a lot of disciplines, embedded, networking, gateway, cloud, application stuff. When you create requirements across the kind of span the multiple domains, is there any way or recommendation you have to manage those requirements, or maybe the sub-requirements that might have different meanings across those different disciplines in the IoT system, and can DOORS help with that kind of thing?
Yeah, so I hope I can answer that without confusing matters too much. So when I hear that question, I think immediately of requirements organization. We didn't really get into this much into the presentation. I know Rick talked about requirements hierarchy. So within Doors Next Generation itself, you have project areas and individual project areas. You can actually have multiple project areas, and you can actually assign different people from different teams to be able to perform different operations within individual project areas. And then within an individual project area, you can even have separate teams as well that maybe have a right to see requirements in certain folders. So that's one way that you can do it. But typically, for complex requirements with multiple teams, multiple disciplines and so on, you organize your requirements into modules. We call them modules inside of Doors Next Generation. Others might refer to those as documents. But modules are an organized way to have headers and have groupings of requirements and so on. Now, within those collections of requirements, those modules, we can create individual views as well, either personal views or maybe views for the testers. I talked about that in one of my slides, where the testers are really interested in seeing the requirements in a certain way. They're interested in seeing specific types of information. Maybe it's a verification method that they want to see. So their view of the requirements shows only the requirements that need to be tested, only the requirements that have a verification method that's set to some value, and maybe only high priority requirements. So there's different views that can be created there as well. So the answer, and I don't know if that really answered the question, I hope it helped. It's really involves, though, requirement organization using the different techniques that are available in Doors Next Generation and different abilities to create queries and views of the information. I'll just mention very quickly, that's very different from a document-centric approach where you have a Word document that gives you one document and you've got one view for everybody. It doesn't matter if that document is 1,000 pages long. You have to dig and search for your requirements, and that can be really difficult. And Doors Next Generation really simplifies your life in that area, supporting this extended team. That's a long answer, but I hope it helped.
No, I think that was informative. So it sounds like you got folders, and you can add and remove visibility between those folders and groups with requirements, and then they can kind of manage the dimension of that requirement for their discipline. So I think that made a lot of sense. Rick, how does the IBM tools integrate with other non-IBM products? I'm kind of lumping some questions in together with people who have products that they might be using in their development environment, like, you know, whatever might be out there to manage, Scrum Agile boards or waterfall models. How does the IBM tools integrate with that for requirements management, or does it?
Okay. Yes, it does. And one of the things that IBM has done is pretty much standardize their tool sets on best practices for various things. For example, there's a standard out there called OSLC. That's Open Services for Lifecycle Collaboration. IBM helped with the standard, but they don't own the standard. It's actually owned by the OASIS, I believe it is. And it is a definition of how does tools communicate. And this is something that we've adopted in our own tools. So we integrate with our own tools using this OSLC standard. And basically it's a provides-consumes relationship. For example, a requirement tool has a requirement ID, it has a requirement creation date, a modified date, an owner, those basic attribute type of information. Well, that is something that we'll provide to other tools. On the other hand, you may have a modeling tool out there or a testing tool, and let's pick on the testing tool, that has a test ID, a test method, maybe it's a must run before. It might have something like a expected result, actual result. So these are things that are consistent with a testing space that will be provided to our tool. So by having these tools support this OSLC standard, we can communicate or have integration. So as tools mature and versions change, as long as the OSLC standard is kept up, we will be able to integrate with those various tools. Again, it's called OSLC, and it's a standard that is owned by OASIS. I believe it's open-services.net.
Okay, great. Thanks. Ed, mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about how changes to the requirements are recognized? For example, you change a requirement, and then how does that ripple down into knowing which tests are affected and all those kinds of things?
Yeah, that was actually one of the examples that I gave. So that's a question makes sense. So in the solution, this isn't just between requirements and test cases. It applies to requirements and other artifacts as well, including model elements. We had this concept of a suspect link, and the idea there is that if the requirement changes, then the element, whether it's another requirement or a test case or a model element, software change record, for example, it's actually marked as being suspect. And in the tooling, you actually see, in some cases, you actually see a little question mark that shows that it's that it's suspect. So the idea there is that if you're a tester, the requirement that you're supposed to be testing has actually been changed. You get an indication that tells you that the requirement changed, and then you decide whether or not that really impacts the test that you're working on. If it does, you actually need to change the test. And in either case, then you would resolve, maybe clear that suspect mark, maybe add a comment into the requirement or the test case that actually, again, that in-context collaboration that I talked about, you can actually add the comment in there to let folks know that you've actually managed this. Now, so that suspect the links, and then we have the ability to version manage our requirements and version manage our test cases. And when we do those together, that's called a global configuration. So you can imagine you have many different versions of requirements, many different versions of test cases. So if you have a link between them, which requirement is right? You need to keep track of that. So it's possible to actually have multiple links between the test case and the requirements, where maybe model A of your product is using one link with one particular requirement version, and model B is using a different requirement version, so that's a different link. So we support this concept of suspect links across these global configurations, and we call that link validity. Very similar concept, but we're able to manage this complex scenario where you actually have version management across the lifecycle of artifacts.
Okay, great. I want to remind the audience you can still have time to ask questions by submitting questions in your text box and clicking the submit button. Here's a really neat question that has some requirements implications, Rick. So they're saying, has IoT technology and methodologies been penetrating into the data centers, or is IoT still just kind of viewed as an emerging source of data for the data centers? And this has particular implications on the requirements. Are the data center or the cloud software simply speccing requirements in terms of data inputs, or are there kind of sensor to cloud requirements you see emerging in some of these IoT applications?
Well, I'm going to try to answer this. As it pertains to Watson, Watson has to be taught. So you have to teach it what the human language is about, or the written language is about, and then have it understand what a good sentence structure is, and eventually what a good requirement would be. So from what I have been told through the product management, we are working with some very large sets of data to teach Watson this kind of information. So it's not something that will be done overnight. Obviously, we're working towards that. There is a couple of pilots going on, not here in the U.S., that's to help expose and to help teach Watson what we want it to do when it comes to good requirements management or requirements elicitation and development of good requirements. So I guess you could say it's still work being done. Okay. There is no silver bullet yet. There's no easy button.
Right. That's pretty compelling, though. It'll be interesting to see how that progresses over time. So, Ed, is there a way to work in a sandbox before committing changes? So if you're trying to massage around requirements and you're not sure if you've got them exactly the way you want them, can you kind of do it in a temporary way before committing them?
Yes, and Rick, if I answer this wrong, please feel free to step in, but, you know, you can certainly change that. So as an individual user, you know, you're often working in a, you know, if you have, you can work in multiple streams, first of all. So you're similar to how you might develop software, you can actually branch off and create a stream and then deliver your changes back into the stream. But you can create change sets as well. And change sets can be, really can, is something where you're working in a change set, you're actually making your changes, the rest of the team isn't seeing those changes, and then you can actually deliver your changes to the stream. You can formalize that if you'd like. You can enforce the solution to be required that there is a work item connected with it as well. It actually reminds me, and I don't know that we mentioned this, maybe you did, Rick, and I missed it, but the Doors Next Generation solution also provides a planning capability within it. We've mentioned several times the ability of having defects and tasks and change requests and so on. That planning capability, well, that planning capability as part of the CLM solution, if you actually purchase Doors Next Generation, you're 100% entitled to actually use that planning capability that's available. So not only do you get the requirements management capability, you get that planning capability as well. So there were some questions that I saw here that had to do with you know, like agile requirements. And part of the answer, though, with that is that you're doing maybe Scrum development, for example, and that's where stories and epics come into play, but also the relationships between those elements and requirements as well. And those relationships can be with change records as well, change sets as well, that is. Okay. Again, a long-winded
No, it's good information.
Yeah, I'd like to add a little bit to that.
Okay.
That is, I see one of the questions about having requirements tied to a particular plan. As Ed mentioned, there is the ability to have actual plans that are associated with the phases of the requirements. So, for example, if there's critical path process where you happen to have requirements or the development of requirements that aren't met, you're going to be able to show critical path diagrams or charts on how things are progressing. So requirements can be tied to these production plans. It's all part of building your product.
Okay, great. Yeah, and I think there were some questions around security as well, like in terms of just specking security kinds of requirements, and you can't do this or it has to be authorized against that. So I guess that's kind of supported too then.
Yes.
Is that, okay, great. One more quick question we have time, like 20 seconds. Customer uses Doors, and they want to know if Doors Next Generation requirements can be exchanged with the previous versions of Doors.
Okay, the answer is yes. I believe it was Classic Doors version 9.3 implemented another one of those standards out there called RecIF, and it's Requirements Interchange Format. Now, that requirements standard has been maturing, and so has it been in the Doors Classic version. So a RecIF file can be created and used as an import mechanism for Doors Next Generation. So a lot of our customers are continuing to use Doors. However, they have maybe new projects that are implementing Doors Next Generation, and they need to be able to communicate back and forth between the two repositories.
Okay.
And you certainly can do that through creating RecIF packages and then basically syncing the requirements between the two.
Okay. Good.
So,
great. Thanks a lot. Unfortunately, we've reached the conclusion of today's eCast. I want to thank Ed and Rick for sharing their insights on effective requirements definition and management for IoT. We at Open Systems Media and IBM want to thank you, the audience, for attending and contributing excellent questions today. This eCast will be posted online at the URL shown on your screen in 24 hours, and an audio-only podcast version will also be made available there. This and all Open Systems Media eCasts are copyrighted and may not be recorded or used in any way without the express written consent of Open Systems Media. Thanks for attending, and have a great day.